Good evening. If you want to turn over, I'm going to read just fairly quickly here in James, the fourth chapter, in verses 13 through 17. James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is a sin." We're going to talk just a little bit about working during the day, working as we go along. We live in a time in our nation where Americans are living longer than ever. A child that was born 100 years ago had the life expectancy of about 56 years. Each year in the United States, about 1.4 million children are born alive. Depressing fact of that, about 130,000 of those pass away before their first birthday. Today, the life expectancy is that of about 78 years, with women living a little bit longer. I think all of us men know why, but they make it to about 81 years. But the definition of old age has changed. In Psalms, the 90th chapter in verse 10, there it's wrote that as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. There is a lot of good things about living a long life. But there is also a negative side to our longevity. And we, in a sense, have lost our sense of urgency. I think modern medicine has become so advanced that we don't really even anticipate death when we get sick. There are people that have had cancer on more than one occasion and know that not all cancer is a death sentence. We see men and women from the battlefield come home in terrible shape, but still they're alive. And so it's become a commonplace that we expect to have plenty of time to do whatever we choose to do. Anticipating a long life and good health, we find ourselves putting things off. We oftentimes will catch ourselves saying, "My life is too busy, but I'll get around to doing that when it's more convenient." That is an attitude that wasn't around very long ago. The attitude of "I'm too busy to help my neighbor," or "I'm too busy to read my Bible, to pray, or visit the sick today, but I'll do it some tomorrow. I'll do extra next week or next month." I think Generation X, Generation Y, and for sure the millennials have often adopted that as our philosophy of, instead of "why put off today," or we say "why put off today," or we do put off today because we think we can do it tomorrow. That is something that our older people here don't believe in, and they haven't believed in. They would never put things off what they could do today. We don't go around with that saying, "the road to hell is paved with good intentions." But it is true, that is exactly how it is paved. Our mentors, people older, would never tell us to put things off. Tomorrow, one man told me this at the hospital this week, that tomorrow is always the devil's day. And I thought that was an interesting way of putting things, was that he wanted to do things in the moment. Well, God gives us no promise of tomorrow. In Psalms 118, verse 24, there it says, "This is the day which the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it." The Christian life should be characterized by a sense of urgency. We should concern ourselves with today. Christ lived his earthly life with a sense of urgency. Many times he used the phrase, "I must." The first time we read Jesus acting for God in Luke, the second chapter, in verse 49, there Mary and Joseph have came back to the temple after leaving Jesus there at 12. And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" When the crowds tried to persuade Jesus to stay with them and preach for them, in Luke the 4th chapter in verse 43, there Jesus tells them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." Jesus understood that he had to reach other people with the gospel message. John records in John the 10th chapter in verse 16, Jesus' words of saying, "I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd." The word "immediately" is often used to describe Jesus' actions. In Mark 1 verse 10 it says, "Immediately coming out of the water he saw the heavens opening and a spirit like a dove descending upon them." Then in verse 12 it says, "Immediately the Spirit impelled him to go out into the wilderness." In Mark 1:18, talking about Peter and Andrew and their calling, it says, "Immediately they left their nets and followed him." And then in Mark 1:20 again with James and John, it was, "Immediately he called them and they left their father." In verse 21, it tells us there that they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and began to teach. The word "immediately" is used in the book of Mark 39 times. When Jesus preached the message, he had an urgent response was needed to be at hand. In Mark 1:15, it says that, "And saying that the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." In Matthew, the 3rd chapter, verse 2, and again in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, there it was, "To repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus commanded his followers to proclaim this same message. Matthew 10, verse 7, there Jesus tells them, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Clearly, Jesus felt a sense of urgency about his work on earth. John records in John the 9th chapter, verse 4, that we must work the works of him who has sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can do work. Jesus understood that he was working underneath a deadline. He knew night was coming. And Jesus included all of his followers in that deadline. He said there, "We must work." Jesus had one advantage, was that he knew the day when his darkness would come. We don't have that luxury. Jesus knew when he was going to start his ministry. In John chapter 2, verse 4, Mary asks him to perform a miracle. And there, Jesus answers her sort of sternly. And he says, "Woman, what does it have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." He also told us when our mission is to start. And it's on that day that we become saved. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Jesus knew when his mission would end. John chapter 7, verse 30, and chapter 8, verse 20, tells of a time when the Jews wanted to seize Jesus, but they couldn't because it wasn't his time. And then in John 12, verse 23, Jesus answered them by saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And then in 13 verse 1 of John, it says, "Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to be with the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end." We don't know when that hour for us is. But God does know when our hour will come. And God alone determines the number of days we live. In Job, the 14th chapter, in verse 5, it says, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you, and his limits have been set so that he cannot pass." The limit of our days was determined before we were born. In Psalms 139, verse 16, there the psalmist writes, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." A lot of times as a kid, I know my grandma had the game concentration, and you would put all of those shapes in the various ones and you pressed it down and you had to try to get them in before the thing popped up and it ruined all of your hard work. Well, that is a pretty good metaphor for life. You spend a lot of time trying to put weird shapes in the places they don't fit, and before you know it, it pops up and it's over, and you don't get to press it down and start over again. So there is that sense of urgency. That's how we need to be living our life. We need to be redeeming our time. Paul says in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, that therefore to be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. It is a very unwise thing for a Christian not to make good use of his time. We don't know when the day is going to be over, but we know a night is coming. Again, John 9:4, Jesus says, "We must work the works of him who has sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can do work." And we understand what Jesus was communicating there. But they understood it a lot better. This was written and told to people who had no electricity. The only work that could be done was done during the day. And again, we have no promise of tomorrow. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth." Life is very short and unpredictable. And that's why James says in James 4:14 that yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. There are cemeteries all over the world with people who had plans for tomorrow. You can think of actors. Paul Walker from The Fast and the Furious unexpectedly dies in a car crash. This past Christmas, 14 people at a Christmas party in San Bernardino had no idea that their lives would be cut short. Every year, 8 teenagers a day are killed in a car accident. Tomorrow is something that is not promised to anyone. And so God wants us to live as though he might come at any moment. There has been a day that has been set aside to end all of time. In Acts, the 17th chapter, verses 30 and 31, there it's recorded that God is now declaring to men and to people everywhere that they should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed. God has not told anyone when that day will be. Matthew 24, verse 36 says that the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. And God wants that day to come unexpectedly. He wants it to be like a thief in the night. In 1 Thessalonians 5:2, there Paul says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And the Lord is going to come when people are not expecting Him. Continuing on there in 1 Thessalonians in verse 3 of chapter 5, it says, "While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." God wants us to live each day as if He might be coming today. Matthew 25, verse 13, Jesus says, "Be alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." And then following this verse is the parable of the talents. And there, of course, the master entrusts his treasure to his servants. And after a long time, the master returns and he calls each of them servants to account. It would defeat God's purpose to give hints and signs to false prophets to preach about when that day was coming. Jesus' point in that parable is for us to live with the anticipation of His soon arrival. If you knew that God was coming on Thursday, how would you live this coming week? Would you live it the same way that you lived this past week? When the master went off into that far place, he entrusted his treasure, the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 and 7, there Paul said, "For God who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing with the treasure that He has left us? God has set a date in which there will be an accounting, and we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? He has instructed us to prepare ourselves and to share with others. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3, verses 14 and 15, that even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. He instructed us to be proactive in sharing the gospel with others. In Mark 16, verse 15, it says, "He said to them, 'Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" He has given everyone the same amount of time every week. You get 7 days and 168 hours, and has given us the free will to decide how we are going to spend each of those 168 hours. Are we using them wisely, or are we squandering them on ourselves? In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." And Jesus Himself admonished us to use our time accomplishing His work here on earth. In John 9, 4, that we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. When Jesus does come, will He find us laboring in that vineyard? Will we be able to hear those words, Well done, my faithful servant. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision to become one. And if you are one and need the prayers of the congregation, this would be an appropriate time as well to ask the prayers of the church. If that pertains to you, we encourage you to come as together we stand and we sing.